Hi, everyone. I'm Sandra Ingerman, and welcome to the Shaman's Cave.
And I'm Renee Barbeau, and we are excited that you're here. And as you could tell, we like to laugh. And I think this next subject is all about liking to laugh and putting that energy out into the world. I just did a really big behavioral health conference in the executive C-suite at the beginning. The first person up was the laughing yogi. And it was just about shifting people's perceptions into a state of enjoyment, humor, laughter, which is kind of what our topic is today about. Where are you putting your energy? Are you putting your energy into the glop? Or are you putting your energy into creating something that's more alive and enriching and in more a full in your life? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I think it's a really important thing that we don't get swirling the drain in our own negativity, because there's a lot of ways we could get doing that out there.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to distinguish between a spiritual bypass and being positive. Mm-hmm. Because what can start to happen is that a lot of people don't want to look at the negativity about what's going on. And so some people, just by routine, by habit, they just watch a lot of podcasts and get those affirmations. Everybody's giving affirmations, chants. There's so many workshops on seeing the world as positive, as positive. But are you finding your own ways to work, which is important because the energy that you put out is important? So I don't want to get into a place where we're getting into a spiritual bypass where, mm-hmm. yes, everything is wonderful. We know that there are challenges in the world, but I know that for myself, I'm in a really, really deep, I see myself on a really deep process of healing of a lot of things. And so when my head goes into, I'm never going to heal, life is terrible, oh my God, look at where things are going, oh my God, I read articles on scammers this morning, I can lose everything. I mean, this is where our minds can go. But as I've said in other shows, it's our soul that directs us in life. It's not our mind that directs us in life. And so we're not using our minds in the best way possible to look at how we can create a different path forward. We have to shovel the path out, and we have to do work around it. And so for me, when I start to go, I'm never going to get better, or the world is going to end soon, or, all the things that we can get into, I stop and think about, I'm trying to put attention to myself. I'm trying to think about, yeah, but look what you've done in the world. And remember what a precious little being you were when you were a kid. You were the sweetest little thing. And seeing myself holding that five-year-old soul that was brought back to me so long ago, the happy part of myself. So it's just changing where I put my energy to. It's not denying that these other things are going on. It's changing where I choose to put my energy to, my feelings, my words, and then noticing how that moves me forward into a different evolutionary state of consciousness where I'm not drowning. Mm.
That's so true. When I get into those moods where everything is going to be awful, because we all do, let's just get real. If I sat here and say, oh yeah, I'm Pollyanna, my friends would tell you, no, you're not. And when I get into those moods, I've learned that I can take a time out. In fact, this week I was getting really grumpy because, I mean, there was a lot of pressure going on, and I wouldn't, put on Chani Lin, and did a meditation in the middle of the day and took a 20-minute nap. And then I got up And I worked for 6 more hours. But the thing is that I know enough that when I'm up against that wall, that there's something out of whack, whether I'm tired or I've absorbed too much news in that particular day, or, you know, other people are in really bad moods around me, because those are the reality of what's going on. But it doesn't mean it's what I have to have for dinner.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, it's really important to understand that we actually eat the energy that we're, when we're with other people, we eat our words, we eat our feelings, we eat the energy that we're picking up from other people. And think of all the indigestion problems people are having on the planet, and we wonder why. I wonder what would happen if everybody stopped focusing on trying to create the most amazing microbiome in your stomach and turn that into that your microbiome will be amazing if you see yourself eating love, eating light, instead of eating thoughts and words that you don't want to share with other people, or eating other people's stuff, that you need to set a boundary and say, hey, that's yours. I'm not eating that. I'm not taking that in. I'm not swallowing it. It's not good for me. And just think of the microbiome you would end up with and how much money you would save on supplements around it.
You make me laugh, because this week I was writing about what those enzymes are going to do to you when you die. They're going to come out and eat you all back up, so they don't have to eat up your friends too. I don't know. Don't worry. I'm in a silly mood today, but that's so true though. The other day I was with somebody who was being grumpy, and within an hour I got grumpy too. We're just not getting along today. You're really grumpy. And I'm thinking like, oh, I think I ate too much of your energy and I caught it. But then I had to really turn it back on me. And like, if I wasn't tired, would I be taking this on? If I was, you know, if I didn't have all of this stress and feel like, oh my God, I'm doing something for somebody else when I really need to be, you know, I have to go back always and look at my own motives in that situation, because energy won't stick to you if there's no Velcro. If you've got a, you know, if you've got an affinity towards it and you've got, you know, you're just tired enough today, boom, it's going to stick like glue. And so then you have to really take that time back away. And if it's from news or whatever, I just remember when the internet really became popular and emailing a lot and how exhausted I could get at the end of the day. And now then that started to happen with Facebook. And now I rarely go over there. You know, and I find that the less I go over there, the more less consumed I am with all the swirling stuff around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most people know that I do very little Facebook. I'm really not on social media. But I did create a Facebook group called Shamans or Gardeners of Energy. And if you're interested in it, you can join the, you have to give my webmaster a password in order to get in. And the password is Transfiguration, if you'd like to get in. But the only thing that you can do on the site is post positive things, beautiful pictures, not quotes from other people, beautiful quotes from yourself, beautiful healing stories from yourself, so that whoever goes to this page, if you need some inspiration, it's like, ooh, I need a break from what this collective is doing. You know, I created this page, or my webmaster created the page for me, Shamans or Gardeners of Energy. And then I created the app, How to Heal Your Thoughts, and it's the same thing. What are you thinking about right now? Mm-hmm. And reframe it. Think of a beautiful statement on the app. There are blessings, there are words, there are pictures that can change your state of mind so that your energy can now start moving in a different direction. So the point is how do we stop when we've gotten into that energy of that negative place, and that's what we're creating for ourselves and for the world. The whole world is you pushed out, as Neville, a mystic that I really love out there. I love that line, the whole vast world is you pushed out. So, how do you change your inner world so that what's being pushed out is the world you actually want to be living in?
There's a morning meditation that I do some mornings, and it's about what thoughts do I push out into the world that have really been, it's not their languaging, debilitating. And like what thoughts are over and over again that if I wanted to create a new world, what thoughts would have to change? Like how different would I have to show up in this new world in order to be welcome to this my own world of my own creation? And I've been finding it that there's these little cunning, baffling thoughts that have, not served me for many, many years that come up and over and over and over again. And when I think I squatted them down with the fly swatter, they come up in another new pattern. And it's been, once you put an awareness to that, I think that's when you become on a more hyper-vigilant patrol of your own thinking. So, like what we did in our last session was about how can you see the world differently? Can you see the elements differently? The earth, the air, the air, the fire, and can you see your thoughts in a different way? Because sometimes they're so strong, you don't even know that they're kicking you in the butt.
And the problem with so many of us is we get into routines and we get into habits, and so how we think is just a habit. It's just a habit. And so, we have to come up with our own different ways of how to break the habit. So like I said, I created this app, How to Heal Your Thoughts. If you don't want to buy an app like that, put up in your house a piece of paper. What are you thinking about right now? And have an alarm clock that goes off every 2, 3 hours, and you stop and you think, what am I thinking about right now? And these are the simple ways, because you might have had all negative thoughts, but you had one good thought for the day, and you build on that. And when you build on that, you start to find that you have more good words and more good thoughts throughout the day. So I always tell people, like, I put up pictures of nature in my office back in the days when I used to have meetings on landlines, and especially with retreat centers who were giving me a hard time. They wanted my groups to have dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, I'm talking about real stories here. And I just wanted to go Brooklyn. I'm a street fighter from Brooklyn, and I wanted to go all Brooklyn on them. And I would look up at these nature pictures, and I would say, do I want to put that kind of energy into the beauty that I love? And I would stop myself. So we need things to stop ourselves, whether you put up beautiful pictures, whether you put up a line that says, what are you thinking about right now? Whether you put up a picture of your most precious being, your grandkid or your kid or your favorite, your pet or your most precious being in your life, and imagine yourself speaking to them. And how would you feel if you tore them down? With negative thinking. These are ways that we can stop ourselves. It's not easy. We're in a bad habit.
And sometimes I think that leads into another thought is like, and when you do fall down your rabbit hole of negativity, there's a bottom. You don't have to, you don't have to then, you've already, you don't have to drown yourself in it. You don't have to beat yourself up that you fell down there. It's like, The other day I could look and say, okay, well, this conversation didn't go the way that I wanted to. I want to be kind with this person. I don't want to go down to that place where it's like, power struggle, and really stop it. And I used to tell clients, if you're going to be like that, just carry a sock around in your purse. So the next time you think you're going to have to say that, you just stuff the sock in your mouth instead of coming out with it. And, for a while I had a sock in my purse. And I mean, I know that's silly, but it's better than carrying around a 25-pound rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's there's little tricks that we do that can help us when we start to really spin. The other thing that I used to always imagine, and now this is like timeless, is that when I first started getting well, and we're talking about 35 years ago-ish, and I imagined my mind was like an LP record. Now, probably there's a lot of you who probably don't even know what that is, but that the record would play in the grooves. The needle would go around. And I started to think that if my brain looked like that record, but that there was a lot of my brain that didn't have pathways that were being used, that I could actually create new pathways through that record. So that, when a record used to skip, you know what I'm talking about, and it would go over and over again. But that if imagine at that point, you could just carve a new path through the cave and get a new thought, then you get to reinforce that new thought over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, first of all, that's beautiful, Renee. And records are back.
Oh, good.
You reminded me back when I was writing Welcome Home, my second book, sort of going back to the 1990s, I had an amazing dream. And in the dream, I was shown a record player with a record going around like Renee was just describing. And the message that I got in the dream was, what kind of future are we creating if we're stuck back in the woundedness of our past? What kind of future are we creating if we're stuck back in the woundedness of our past? And in the dream, they showed me a record that was stuck and was skipping. And so I just think it's so synchronistic with what you
just said. That's very interesting that
yeah.
Well, there are no coincidences, and that's why we're here. And sometimes I think we share things that we both need to hear too. So, we're not immune from this. We're not sitting up here on our high horses telling you, we have a little bit more wisdom around it because, I don't bypass.
Right.
Anyone who knows me will never say, oh, she bypassed. No. I was just telling Sandra before we got on the call that I was having this little resentment about, and it's going to be a topic for a future show about that I've been doing the spiritual work for 30 years and now there's people showing up who have been doing it for 2 weeks and by comparison, and they talk to me like they know more. And maybe instead of saying, oh, I know more and I'm the all queen on this, I sit there and say, like, okay, why is this disturbing me? Why am I being an old fogey about their spiritual life? And I go back and I look and I scrub one more time so that I can get clear and be okay with the fact that first that I had the resentment and the second that it's natural part of life, but that I don't want to live from that place of thought.
Right.
And even when we were talking, we came to this idea is that how much further they can go because they're starting from there instead of down here. And where are they going to go? So we're going to have a whole show about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always lots to talk about. And even when we repeat, it's because, we've been doing the show for a long time. We have new people coming in all the time. And these are topics when we repeat. They're topics that we need to learn again, because we get into a routine, we forget, we get amnesia. And so sometimes we have to repeat. And And that's really important. I repeat a lot of my work over and over and over again because the first time I do it, I feel like I got a little superficial. And then when I do it again, I feel like I was able to get a little bit deeper. And so that's the thing with shamanism. It's about how much do you practice and how much do you bring your practice into your life? And so finding ways to work with your looping negative thoughts is part of how to live a shamanic way of life that's filled with harmony and beauty and creating the world that you personally want to live in.
And we know that there's somebody else that you know in your life who needs this message today. So I'm going to invite you to hit the share button. You can share from YouTube, you can share from the Shaman's Cave on Facebook. But why don't you share this hopeful message with a friend of yours today, and then let us know in the comments that you did that.
That would be really beautiful. We would really appreciate your support. We really appreciate everybody showing up for our shows, and we really appreciate the comments. What we really appreciate those subscribe and likes because that keeps us going. So, everyone.
Yeah, we get this little check every month from and it's a little check. And if you hit subscribe and like, and if all the people in the Shaman's Cave group, there's 33,000 people liked our show, that little check would be a bigger check, and then we wouldn't have to write a check every month.
That's right.
So hit subscribe. It makes a difference.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. We send you blessings and we appreciate all the wonderful work that you're doing during these times.
Much love.